Talk Talk Radio. And welcome to Garage Talk Live. It's basically running the boards and answering the phones tonight will be Tammy on.
Radio.
A little late on that one. Welcome to Garage Talk Live. Tonight will be my very special guest, Anne-Marie Rhodes, host of Davidson's Gallery of Guns. And we'll be talking firearms tonight. It's the off-season, so I get to throw anything I want out there. So tonight it's firearm night. So anybody looking for a new toy, plaything, want to get some information, she'll be joining us shortly, and we'll be talking about getting guns for the zombie apocalypse or the end of time. I know the new show, Doomsday Preppers, talks about stocking up on all sorts of stuff. So we'll find out what's trending in new firearms tonight. I saw that FNH is coming out with a new pistol, the FNH-45. I wonder if we'll have her talk about that, because they test all these weapons on Davidson's Gallery of Guns. Tammy, if you're still there, you couldn't join us last week, but Brad Keselowski did win the championship, and I think Anne-Marie might be there now.
Yep, let me put it through.
All righty. And I'd like to welcome to the show a good friend of mine and the show. You've known her from before as Miss Sprint Cup, and now as a civilian hosting the Davidson's Gallery of Guns. We're talking firearms tonight. Welcome back to the show, Anne-Marie.
Hey, guys. Good to be back. Thanks for having me on again.
Well, I said we were going to do a show talking guns, and finally it's the off season. We can do that now.
Yes, exactly.
Now, as the host of Gallery of Guns on the Sportsman Channel on DirecTV and Dish, it's a shame the cable companies haven't picked it up, but that's a pretty good show. You get to test all the new and fancy things that come into the market today. Anything you'd like to talk about as far as Gallery of Guns when the season airs? Of course, it airs DirecTV and Dish on 8 o'clock, 11 or is it 8:30 now, 11:30, and then 3 o'clock on Thursdays?
And this was my second season this year, and the show's done just above and beyond really what I could have ever hoped for. We were the number one gun show on the channel, and which is great. And like you said, we get to test out all the latest firearms, and it's a job that I never thought in my life I would ever have, and I love it. I absolutely love it.
Now, you've got to fire some pretty amazing weapons on the show.
Oh, definitely, yeah. I'll say my favorite has got to be the Les Bear 1911. It's a 45, and that's one of the best shooting guns I've ever shot in my entire life. It's kind of expensive, so I don't know if I'll be owning one anytime soon. But I sure would like to. That's my dream gun to have.
Now, that's a custom gun, right? That's not an off-the-shelf, yes, like a Springfield or a Colt. They're,
yes,
all based on the Model 1911, of course. John Browning just about designed every firearm that's in existence today or some has some action from somewhere is always tied back to him. So talk about innovation. Back at the turn of the 20th century,
mm-hmm,
that all comes through in today's thing. And I noticed, I saw on, I think one of the sites said that FNH is coming out with their 45 shortly. Have you had a chance for that yet?
I have not, but I'll tell you, the FNH FNS9 is... I actually tested it out with one of their competition shooters on FNH's sport team, and that gun will be mine very soon. That is an amazing, amazing firearm. It shoots beautifully, very accurate. I mean, as you can imagine, a competition shooter is going to want to shoot a gun like that. But that gun was above and beyond when I was shooting it. I couldn't believe how accurate it was. It was incredible.
And that's a 9mm? The FN9?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and they're also telling, well, I think you've profiled it on the show, the FNH57. Now, I'm trying to put that into American caliber terms. I guess it's somewhere between a 22 and a 30 caliber.
I believe so. I don't know if I was the one hosting that day or not. Maybe Bo was, but I personally tested out the 9, and it was pretty incredible. Very special gun. And feels good in your hand. There is something about that. You know, the thing that I've learned most about this show is that for somebody who doesn't know anything about firearms, it can be intimidating. It can be confusing, too, because you think, God, they kind of look similar, you know. But once you start testing them out and you see all the different variables with it, it really is, every single one is so different and so unique. And it has, to me, you know, for a woman with a smaller hand, it has so much to do with the grip of the gun and how it feels in my hand. Is it overpowering it? Is it too small? Because some of the guns that are really, you know, more geared towards concealed carry, they're almost a little too small for me, for my taste. But that's the great thing about the show is that we get to test out each individual one. And what's great for the audience is you get to see somebody like me with a smaller hand tested out, somebody like Bo with a bigger hand tested out, and you can sort of gauge a little bit, you know, through the TV of what you like, what you don't like. And we try to really give every single detail about the firearm, how it's used, all the stats on it. We really try to go in as much detail as we can in that segment so that the person at home who's looking to purchase the firearm, we make it very easy for them.
And as far as handguns go, like we've met, you've seen me. I'm somewhere between your hand size and Bo's hand size.
Quite different.
And when I tell people, they always say, "Well, I'm going to get this for this, or I'm going to get this for my wife." I said, "Don't pick out your wife's gun. Take her with you, and see what feels comfortable in her hand, because everybody's different, and it's all a matter of." Of comfort, and of course, then you can worry about caliber and kick and, you know, recoil and all that.
Exactly. Yeah. I tell people all the time, you know, especially for women shooters, I say go to a gun range, you know, rent a few different calibers, rent a few different types of guns, see which one you like the best, the one you're most comfortable with, because in a distress situation, you have to be confident that you know that weapon. And if you are afraid of it, or if you get a caliber that the first time you shoot it scares you to death, you're not going to be as secure as you normally could, you know, or as you really could. For example, when I first started shooting, one of the guns they put in my hand was a .357 revolver, and it stung for 5 days. I mean, it hurt so bad. I was terrified of it. And that really had more to do with the fact that I didn't have as much control as I do now and not as much training as I do now with firearms. But that was one of the first sort of taste of that particular day of shooting, and it just happened to be before the show. And so it was one of those things where I thought, if I ever train women in the future, I'm never going to do that to them. I'm going to start them off, you know, with a 22 or a 9, something that is not going to completely just terrify them of, because a lot of women and a lot of people in general, they're automatically afraid of a gun. But you have to know that if you can train yourself, it gets better and much easier to shoot. You're not as afraid of it. You understand it, and that's the key to it, is really understanding the gun. But, yeah, starting somebody off with something so powerful like that, not necessarily the smartest thing if you're really wanting them to either shoot for sport or have it for self-defense.
Definitely. My first handgun was a Smith & Wesson Model 686 with a 6-inch .357 Magnum, but the way it was sold to me, it was you could shoot 38s in it, which whole lot easier and cheaper to shoot than pumping in 158 grain .357 rounds.
Right, and that's, a lot of them are doing that now. They're having it where you can shoot a 38 out of it. As a matter of fact, that gun is I believe it's made by Ruger, they actually have the same thing where you can shoot a 38. So I switched over to 38 very quickly.
Yes, revolvers and semi-automatics. What the key is, I think, in my a revolver is designed never to fail. If should there be a misfire in a revolver, you just have to pull the trigger again. With a semi-auto,
right.
I like try to tell people, if you're not used to it, then you know it's not something you want to start out with because wrist firmness and you know keeping the grip steady on the firearm. You could avoid jams. And once you have a jam in a pressure situation, that could be fatal on your part.
You know, and the best thing about revolvers are when it comes to my recommendation for a home defense gun, that is a great gun to have because it is. There aren't a lot of steps to shoot it. Now, mind you, a whole different conversation if you have children in your home, but that's not what I'm talking about right now. For a woman to, in a distress situation, to have the least amount of steps possible, to me, a revolver is great for that. Now, that's not my home defense gun, but I do recommend a lot of times for women, a lot of women come up to me and ask me, what should I get for home defense? What should I get for home defense? Well, the first thing I tell them is you need to go and train. You need to go to a gun range and see what you like. That's the most important thing. But a revolver is a great bet for something like that because you just pick it up and you shoot it.
Yeah, especially in the middle of the night, if you don't have time to react. If you have a dog, you have an alarm system built in, so the dog will bark. And
right, but are you going to remember to turn the safety off? Can you pull the slide back fast enough? Maybe, maybe not. You know, if you're very well trained, you have a better chance, but a revolver is a good bet, but always, 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 no matter what you get, you have to go to the gun range and train with that firearm. You can't just buy it and have it sit in the box.
No, that's probably the biggest misconception of anything. And the only downside to owning a revolver is cleaning them.
Yes.
Cleaning the semi-automatic is a whole lot easier than takes a lot less time than cleaning a revolver.
Yeah, I hear a lot of people say that. But, you know, revolvers are still some of the most popular ones out there today. So, and there's so many different ones. You know, I particularly love revolvers that Ruger makes. But, you know, Smith & Wesson is also great as well. You can't go wrong with either one of those.
I personally have quite a few Smith & Wessons. I think I posted a picture on Facebook. I call it my Smith family. It's a 38 2-inch snub, and then I have the 3-inch full under lug J-frame as well. That's 38 plus P capable, and then from there I go to the 4-inch 357, 686 with a full under lug, and then I have the 629 Classic at 6.5 inches for the 44 Magnum. The one gun I'm envious that I want to get my hands on is something you have fired in the Smith line is at 500.
Ah. Should that be a Christmas present for you this year?
I'll have to talk to the wife on that one.
Well, tell her to call me. I'll hook her up.
Sounds good then. But, you know, now the one you were posing with, I guess it was about a year or so ago. That was what, the eight inch barrel, or was it the 10-inch barrel? I know they have like all different size barrels for that thing, and it's.
I don't know which one we have on. You're talking about the one we actually have on display in the studio. I can't really recall because they changed it, so that I'm not sure. I want to say it's the 8, but I'm probably not correct on that.
I want to get something.
I don't remember which ones are on there, but we changed them out periodically, so they could have changed it on me.
Okay. Well, I know the size of that thing. Now, when you're shooting something that powerful, was that compensated?
It really depends. If it's super heavy, yes. For me, no. You know, maybe for Bo, but there are a couple times where he'll kind of give me a side glance like, ow. You know?
Yeah, I thought maybe that.
I've always said I wish we could get a camera just filming us when the other person is shooting. So sometimes that's kind of funny. And Bo and I have a friendly competition always when we're shooting. If one of us beats the other on the target, the other person's pretty upset about it. So, and I'm pretty competitive, so I definitely like to beat Bo.
No, I'm sure you have like side wagers, like coffee's on, the loser buys breakfast or something.
We don't, but you know what? That's a great idea. We do actually, we all have dinner all the time as a crew, so that's a great idea. Maybe I'll take him up on that one next year. That's funny.
Now, where do you take the show? Out in Carolina or somewhere out west? Where the weather's
we
nice?
Actually have a studio in Greensboro, North Carolina, and
oh, okay.
That's where we take care of all the in-studio things, and then the range is in Pilot Mountain, North Carolina. Small town, but very beautiful, and they have a lot of rolling green hills, and there's a really great range up there that's privately owned, and we actually get to go on the range and spend as much time as we need to setting up different targets, and, you know, it doesn't really feel like filming a lot of times. It feels like playtime, honestly. What'd you say?
I said, I think that would be playtime for me, too, hitting the range.
I have a lot of friends that are like, how in the world can we go with you? But it is a long day. You know, we're out there for sometimes 8 to 10 to 12 hours, and that's where hearing protection really comes into play. But it's really fun, and we get to shoot a lot of different targets, and they make it pretty creative for us. I wish the show could show more of that, but, you know, we can only cram in so much in 30 minutes, but we do try to put a little bit more online. I think all the episodes now, we air it 2 seasons in a row, and we're on the second season, the second segment of the year now. So a lot of the shows are actually online on YouTube. If you want to go to Davidson's Gallery of Guns on YouTube, their page actually shows a lot of the different things, including the Les Bear that I was talking about earlier, my favorite. But what's great, too, about the show is that we get a lot of the manufacturers that come into the studio and give us sneak peeks into new firearms that are about to come out. And so what's great is we get a lot of exclusives from that. So if you're a firearm enthusiast, it's a really cool show to watch.
It is a cool show to watch. As a matter of fact, I was wondering if what your filming schedule for the season is, because I wasn't sure whether I was watching repeats or not.
You are right now, yep. All the show for this year has aired already, and then they replay it again for all the way up through Christmas. And then we'll start filming again either January. So we usually film, we go to SHOT Show first, and then we go from SHOT Show a couple weeks after that we start filming, and we usually end around sometime in May. And then the show begins to air, I believe, in July. So
the SHOT Show, I guess you're like a kid in a candy store going to that one.
Oh, it's incredible. Oh, my goodness. I'm so excited to go this year. It is so amazing. It is so amazing. And you learn so much, and you get little sneak peeks of everything. And what's fun now, too, is this will be my third year going. So the first year I was kind of, you know, the new person. I had no idea about who everybody was, and now it's great because you could be going to dinner and, you know, right next to you, you see the group from Ruger, or the table over is Smith & Wesson, the table over there is Browning, and so on and so on, and it's really cool because it's kind of like the NASCAR community. It's a close-knit family of people. It's very similar to NASCAR in that way, and so it's fun to go to Vegas and spend time with everybody and just kind of catch up and talk about the stories from these people over the years. I mean, their stories go so far back. It's incredible to listen to. I could just sit there all night. I mean, they just go story after story. And a lot of it's about, you know, the history of firearms and how this all came about. And it's that part is just really incredible. Somebody should just do a show on that, you know.
You want? I'll be your co-host.
Yeah. And I have to give a shout-out to the show. We were nominated again for a Sportsman's Channel Award, so I'm very excited about that.
All right.
Yeah.
They need to, you know what they need to do? Increase you to an hour.
I agree. I think we should be an hour, but that is not up to me.
So who designed the show and put you and Bo together? And you seem to have a good bit of chemistry on camera. And how did it all come about? Or has the show been, you know, on before and you joined them a couple of years ago, of course?
It actually was. We started on the second season. There was one season before us with a host, and then they brought Bo and I on, actually through the agency that I work with, that I've been signed with since I was 15 years old. They contacted my agent at the time and brought us all in, you know, to just sort of discuss what they were thinking of and have us audition, and because a lot of it is they need, you know, well-spoken hosts for sure, people that are used to that kind of thing, which obviously we both have a background in that. But after that process was over there, we had a lot of training, a lot of training with former snipers and you know, the manufacturers and police officers. And I had private training myself with you know, former military, just so that we're ready and that we are correctly handling the firearms, which is very important, especially for the viewers to know that, you know, these are not just two actors, so to speak, just, you know, standing there shooting a gun. We actually know what we're doing. And that's
right.
Really important. And I stressed that a lot, that they trained us very well, and we take a lot. We took that very seriously, and we still do. I still like to train because that's very, very important to me when I'm shooting it, to do it correctly so that the viewers at home and for all of my female viewers out there who are afraid to shoot can see somebody like me who's not very big and know, okay, well, if she can do it, I can do it. But back to your question, we went through that first interview process, both got the job, and, you know, now we're going on to season four. And it's just been great. It's been a pretty easy process. You know, television is one of those things where there's a lot of hands involved and a lot of people involved in shooting it and editing it and training, and our scripts are very long, and we have a very small amount of time to memorize them. And
you have scripts?
We do. We have a lot of scripts because we have to make sure we get all the specifics for the firearms. We can't just make that up. We want to make sure we're saying it spot on. That's very important. Some of it's ad lib, you know, with questions, but a lot of it is, you know, when we're talking about the gun itself and giving those details, they have to be exact. And, you know, because if they're not, somebody will ask us. so that, you know, that's very important to have that. And, but it's just, it's going great and it's really fun. I just went to the studio a couple weeks ago and filmed a new segment that will be online shortly, and actually two new segments that will be online. I can't tell you what they are yet,
wow.
But they're going to be pretty cool. And so you can check out Davidson's Gallery of Guns Facebook page now. They started one this year, and it's gone really well. And it's actually a really fun Facebook page to follow. The marketing people that work with it, they post some really great things. I like following it.
And that seems to be the way to go. Now, with not to get political, but ever since the election, again, gun sales going through the roof, and which is good for the manufacturers now. I guess there's a big trend going towards the AR movement. Of course, I'm in the market for one myself, but I don't know whether to go with the classic style from the late 70s that I used to fire in the military, the old M16 style, or the new style with the M4 look. I know, and everybody seems to be making them nowadays, Smith & Wesson, Sig Sauer, Colt, AR themselves, Mossberg. I mean, how do you figure out which ones to highlight on the show, or do you try to highlight them all, and which, you know, recommend them from ones you fired?
You know, I'm trying to think back of which ones that we shot on the show. I'd have to look on the different episodes and see. I don't want to misspeak here because that's an important question. I would recommend that people go to the YouTube page and check out the videos and see which one they like the best. I have heard that the gun sales are up, specifically ARs, because a lot of people are from what I've heard, you know, just afraid that they're not going to be able to get those in the future. But, I, you know, recommending one, I'm trying to think of which one I really liked the best. I have to think about that. Maybe that'll be something that I send to you, maybe a link to, and we can post it later. How about that?
That sounds like a plan. Now, I saw a show, it was only on once, it was Ted Nugent having the, it was a special, I guess, and he went to a custom shop near him in Texas, and they built him an AR, but it was a 15 bottle, but it was in .308 caliber for like a long range, I guess called long range sniper slash hunting rifle. Look, you know, to me, there's no such thing as an assault weapon. To me, it's just a military-looking semi-automatic rifle.
Right.
And that seems to throw everybody into a tizzy. But, the, like, now I'm used to the old 5.56 slash 223 round, which I think if you really want to get one, you can get them in 22. They're probably the cheapest to shoot, but 223 ammunition is not that expensive either. So like $6 for a box of 20, even though to get a feel of where you can actually hunt with the gun.
A lot of people do like to shoot the 223s. Those are great. We shot a lot of those on the show. I actually do like them.
So, you know, that's the one I think I'd like myself. I guess it's a matter of personal preference. I know.
It is, yep.
On your show, Bo's face lights up when he talks about the Picatinny rails.
Yeah, he does. You know, Bo likes the shotguns and the ARs and all that. I'm the handgun girl. I'm that's where my heart is. I just do. So this year we actually, I think one of the reasons too, I can't really remember as much because I was more heavily involved with the handguns and Bo was more heavily involved on the other side. So. But occasionally I'd say, you know, you're going to let me shoot that right. And he's like, all right, here you go. But he had a good time this year, let me tell you. He had a good time. We had a really good time with some zombie targets this year. You know, zombies are the thing now. That's such a big trend in the world.
What's the thing with the zombie apocalypse coming, you know, and all the
Coming and people are getting ready for them. We actually have a zombie commercial that Gallery of Guns put out. It is awesome. You have to check it out.
I know you filmed it right near me in near Martinsville.
Yes, we sure did. You know why we did that? The guy that actually filmed it, he's from, what's the name of the town right there? It starts with a D.
Danville,
yes. Yeah, he's from there. So the news came out, and kind of it was really cool to see that. But zombies are a huge thing, and so we got some zombie targets out there and started, you know, filling them with holes, and they bleed as you shoot them with, you know, the paint comes out. Yeah, it was really, really cool. And what's cool about SHOT Show is that they have, I mean, as you can imagine, all the latest and greatest targets. So it was just zombies everywhere this year. So I'm very excited to see what 2013 is going to be in the trend for targets.
And what about different types of ammunition now? I was looking, I guess, the Taurus Judge, or a.k.a. the Smith & Wesson Governor, same weapon, basically, two different makers, and the 410 shot shells, and Winchester makes one. It's three discs and 9 pellets. That's what you want. Now, that seems like a devastating home defense round if you want to put it in a revolver.
I think a lot of people like the fact that they can shoot the shot shells out of it, and that is a really great sell for that gun. The Judge is so popular. I hear people talk about that still to this day all the time. But, you know, that's, again, it's a personal preference kind of thing. It's a lot of people just enjoy having it for sport, and they can go to the range and show it off, and some people use it for self-defense. You know, that's the thing about firearms is that it really comes down to what you like, what you're comfortable with, you know. I mean, that really is the bottom line. But, you know, there is a difference between, you know, a .22 and a .357. There is a difference with somebody coming at you and what's going to make them drop and what's going to make them you know, just, you know, not to sound grotesque, but just sort of make them bleed a little, you know.
Yeah, bleed a lot.
Bleed a lot, yeah. Well, a 22 versus something else, there's going to be a difference, you know, and it's important to understand that. And, you know, we talk so much about guns, and it's funny to hear my mother, or see my mother's face when I talk about guns now, because she's like, what in the world? Like, looking at me like I'm insane. But really, it's, I just drill constantly about the fact of safety, how important it is to understand the firearm. Really, I can't say that enough. And, you know, if you have children in your home, it goes to a whole new level of understanding it and keeping it safely away from them. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
Oh, it's a good thing to throw out for every once in a while throughout the show when you're discussing firearms, because that is the key. Nobody wants accidents, and then, you know,
they're not toys.
There's a little problem.
Yeah, they're definitely not toys.
And because, you know, you said you're the handgun person, you know, I started out buying handguns, of course, and building up a little collection. I like different calibers for different things, and as far as ammunition, there's different types of ammunition for different types of situations, and I think, I don't know if people realize that, you know, buying, using hollow points or full metal jackets, you know, for things like that. As an enthusiast, I'm sure you're well aware of, like, over-penetration and that type of thing when using a weapon in areas where you have to worry about neighbors and things like that.
Well, going through the walls, yeah. You don't want it to go through the walls. I'm not an ammunition expert by any means, but that is a question, if you're looking to purchase a firearm, that I would ask, especially if you have a loved one in the next room. You can't just think, okay, great, I'm going to have this really powerful shotgun and just stand up and shoot the intruder. You know, you could very much so harm somebody else in your home. So those are things that, it's not just about the firearm. You have to think about all of those things. It's the most basic level. You have to look at it like, you know, when you go to get your concealed license, one of the things I always teach you is that you have to know what is beyond your target, not just your target. You have to always think about that aspect too. So just like a gun range, I don't care what gun range I go to. I always look behind and around and make sure that what I'm shooting at is safe, because that's one of the accidents that you obviously can't take back. And so I always try to think about that even for home as well. I think about, okay, well, in this direction is this, in this direction is this. So with so many different types out there, you just have to just do your homework. And there is a lot. I know it can be intimidating. But what's great about a company like Gallery of Guns is they can help you through that. And I have people help me with that all the time. When I'm looking around, you know, I'm very fortunate that I can call up one of the reps and just say, hey, I don't understand this. Can you help me out? And Frank W. James, actually, that is one of our guest, you know, thoughts on the show, he is an encyclopedia of firearms. It is astounding. And I'm trying to think of the name of his blog. I have to look it up and tell you, but to learn about, just to read what he talks about with firearms, that's unbelievable. And he's helped me out a lot. And so, you know, anytime I get confused, I'll call him or somebody I trust and just say, hey, can you please explain this to me so I don't do, you know, something stupid.
I know, and I was looking for, you know, different types of ammunition for what we call home defense weapons. And I thought about, they're expensive, but in so like $15 for six of them. But for a different connective, they make them in different calibers with the Glazer safety slugs, which were designed for, you know, soft tissue damage, but they were designed for sky marshals basically years ago, so they wouldn't go through plane walls.
Mm-hmm.
And living in an apartment, I figured that was probably the safest thing to have around. And, you know, I don't use them out on the range just because, and in some places they're actually hard to find because they're frangible, for one thing, so they'll go in on a regular penetration, like a small hole, but when they finally get in there, they do some, turning the innards into paste, I guess. But,
yeah. What it's shot show, they actually have examples of that, you know, etched out in different things, sort of dispersed around the a massive shot show that's in Vegas. And I've learned a lot more about that there. But, you know, there's so many different kinds that it's hard to know them all. That's the same thing about firearms. It's the same thing about stock cars. You think you know a lot about it, or you think you feel pretty confident that you know about as much as you need to know, and then all of a sudden they come out with a brand new thing and you're confused. Or, I mean, it's constantly changing, constantly evolving. And firearms are always going to evolve. They're always going to try to come up with the next phase of firearms, and I see that every single year, what's, you know, coming out that's different and innovative, just like the judge. I mean, you could really say that is.
It's hard to believe it's a revolver, and it's, you know, 5-shot, and 40, who knew the 45 long Colt casing was comparable to a 410 shot shell, but I'll tell you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bo went, he was drooling over that one, let's just say. There is, for the first day of SHOT Show, there's Media Day. And Media Day is all gun writers and magazines and press and, you know, all of the above. They actually go to a gun range that's out in the middle of the desert in Las Vegas, which Las Vegas itself is in the middle of the desert, but even farther out. And they set targets up really, really far away and really close, and they have skeet shooting, and they have all the latest firearms, the big names out there that are introducing their you know, top new firearms that they want the public to know about. And so all the media come out, and that's when you really get to see a lot of incredible things. And so what we're going to do is we're going to film a lot of those and put them online this year, just like we did last year, so that the public can see a lot of that before they actually are released, which is really cool.
Yeah, now you get to go on Media Day, so you don't have the public out there or all that. I mean, as a show host, and you know, being able to demonstrate and talk about them on the air, it must be, like I said, you're probably like a kid in a candy store at that time of year.
It really is. You know, you go out there and there are 300 firearms just lined up, and they say, just, you know, pick one, whichever one you want to go fire. And it's amazing. It's an experience. This was my second year going to it, and the first year I came out there, I was like, oh my goodness, what in the world? Kind of like my first NASCAR race. And now I'm just more excited about it than ever, because this is my third season, and I'm way more comfortable and ready to go. You're getting me excited thinking about Vegas coming up soon. It's not that far off.
I know. Were you just out there for the NASCAR banquet as well? Or were you?
I was not. I was not out there this year. My role now, I don't know if a lot of people know or not, but it's come full circle with the Sprint Cup program. I work for the same agency that represents the women that are Miss Sprint Cup. And so now I'm the point person for that program. So it's all kind of come full circle. And now I spend a lot of time throughout the year scouting for new girls for the future events. So it's really neat to get to do that and to get to have the gun show. And I have a very busy and insane life, and it's very fun. I'm very, very fortunate.
Well, that's good to hear. I'll, of course, give a plug out to Marilyn's agency as well. So this is St. Marilyn that was the first Miss Winston, right?
Yes, Marilyn Green was the first Miss Winston Cup back in 1971. And then fast forward to 2007, I was the first Miss Sprint Cup. So our offices, we literally share a wall, and so it's very ironic that how full circle it's come. We talk about that a lot, but she has a lot of her old photographs and memorabilia there at the office, and then she has mine, and it's so neat to compare her. I think her first uniform was white go-go boots and little short shorts. Very different than what they wear now.
Definitely. Now, so back then, I didn't think everybody didn't have to be in a fire suit back then. So,
I mean,
I'm a wee bit older, so back in the day, watching NASCAR on TV, seeing them in Victory Lane in their go-go boots and their white outfits.
Yeah. And their job was to kiss the driver and give him flowers and, you know, greet him in Victory Lane, which is not the job now. There's no kissing the drivers in Victory Lane. I was the only one that got away with that, but it was not my fault. Tony Stewart started that one, not me. So,
well, you know, it's amazing how going into that, you know, as a Miss Sprint Cup and going, being able to, you know, come down hosting a TV show and doing all the fun things you're doing, even though it is a lot of work.
Very much so.
The outsider, it looks like a lot of fun, but
mm-hmm.
They say the travel time and all that is
unreal. I do work 5 days a week at the agency, and actually I work generally from about 8 to 8 at night, so I have very long hours during the week just because it never seems to stop. So it's, unless you stay late, you're pretty much behind the next day. So I do work full-time there, and then once the gun show starts, I do both. I have to go film during the day, work at the agency, catching up at night on emails, and back to it the next day. Luckily, the filming is broken up into segments, so I don't have to do 5 weeks straight. But if I did, I'd still figure it out. I literally have the two jobs, and I have to do both. So I'm not complaining, that's for sure. But from the outside looking in, it might look like we have a lot of time off, but there's certainly no time off. I would love a little time off, but
you need it. Working two jobs, and I think for a while before you were on the host of Gallery of Guns, you were motorracing.com and being a photographer and a writer for the website as well. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely dabbled in that a little bit. I figured out that was not my thing, but I gave it a great shot. It was very fun. The photography was, I loved it. It was so much fun. But again, just the travel, you know, when I was in Sprint, we were gone all the time. And I actually really enjoyed being back home where my family is. And I have two nephews now, and life is a little bit more settled for me, which I like. I've been on the road since I was 16, and I'm a lot older than that. So I'm very, very happy in my gun show and my agency job, very settled and happy with where I'm at. So the travel, it's very, you know, people look at people in NASCAR and they think, oh my goodness, it's so glamorous and people are leaving on private jets. But you know, even in the Sprint Cup girls, they don't fly on private jets. They fly commercial. And if it's delayed, it's delayed. You know, you're covered in champagne. You're beyond exhausted. And you have to catch a 6 a.m. flight when you just got in at 2 a.m. It's not glamorous in that sense whatsoever.
Only the drivers have the glamour with the private jets and the car owners.
Yeah. They actually, yes, very much. We would be sitting in traffic some days and see them tweeting from home, and I would be like, oh, why do you have to do that? You know, I'm still sitting here in traffic.
You would think the sports major sponsor, Sprint, would take care of you ladies, don't
they? Well, you know, I think back in the day, there was a small time period where Miss Winston Cup possibly traveled on a jet, but I could be wrong. I don't want to mess those up for sure, but no, they have a normal, I guess as normal as you could say it is, job just like the rest of us. They have to work all the time. There's not a lot of downtime for that either. Even during the week, there's not a whole lot of downtime. So, plus, you're so exhausted from the weekend, your days are kind of, they just all sort of run together at a point.
How do you do with working 8 to 8? I guess I'm keeping you late at the office tonight.
Well, you know, it's my hours that I set for that. I'm technically an 8 to 5, but I stay late all the time just to, you know how it is. You just work. You don't stop. So I'm over here talking to you all the time. Get out of there. But it's my job. I actually really love my job, and there's something about when you're that passionate about what you do, you can't get enough of it. And that's kind of the point I'm at. I just really enjoy it a lot. And it's been really fun too to work with the Sprint Cup program with the girls and get to be a part of that. It's very ironic. I was just telling somebody that earlier today, but it's fun. I represent a lot of different actors, and so it just doesn't, a lot of times it doesn't feel like work. It's so fulfilling. I really, really love it.
I guess that's what makes it makes the long hours easier, because it doesn't feel like work. You're, if you're having fun at what you're doing, then it's not really work.
Very much so.
And, you know, as far as the Gallery of Guns, the one thing I couldn't figure out, and maybe it's just me not being an older person, not computer savvy like all you youngsters are, is the gun genie.
Mm-hmm.
If you need a video to learn how to work the gun genie, to me something's it's not as easy as it looks.
There is actually a gun genie tutorial. There's a little button that is below the Gun Genie button on Gallery of Guns, which is on the left side of the website. There's a little tiny, it says how it works, and then there's a little tiny video camera. If you click on that, it will give you a tutorial of how the Gun Genie actually works, and tells a little bit about the lifetime replacement warranty and all of the above. So, but it's a really great tool. I tell people all the time, if you're looking for a firearm, please check out galleryofguns.com and go to that Gun Genie, because it spells out right there, you know, what you're looking for. And as soon as it pulls up, you can put your zip code in, and it will actually give you in your area what the gun is priced at different dealers, which is great.
That's the amazing part, is, you know, figure different locations, dealers' prices can vary, and usually you don't get them from the manufacturers. I guess that's federal law and all that kind of nonsense. So you have to go through a licensed dealer in your area. So you really can't get it wholesale. Only the federally firearm licensed dealer can, and he sets his own price. Now, as far as some of the other gun websites where you can actually order firearms, actually require you to bid on them, which I think is kind of, you know, I'm the type of person, oh, I want that, let me go get it, type of thing, and then
right.
Actually have to wait for it, like an eBay type of site to buy a firearm. It's like, yeah, I might get it at a better price, but then again, you might not.
Right. Well, you know, I don't know much about those. But I would say to that, I'd just be careful with, you know, what you buy and who you buy from. I know with Davidson's, you know, if the gun that you buy is ever defective, they'll actually replace it at no charge. And, you know, it comes with a lifetime warranty. So as far as I'm concerned, when I found that out, there is something about when you work for the company, you learn who the people are and what they're all about. And what I've learned in the past 2 years, I'm a customer for life. I would not go anywhere else at this point. I would see no reason to do that. They're so helpful, and their warranty alone speaks for itself. I mean, that part's really incredible. So for me personally, you know, not just because I'm the host of the show, but for me personally, that's where I would go, and I would trust them with that. You know, that's because of me. No, go ahead.
No, it's okay. The warranty thing itself, now, is that just a manufacturing defect warranty, or if something happens along
the way? You have to go in there and see it. You know, any gun that's sold from Davidson's, they'll replace it at no charge, and they have all the conditions of what that entails on the website. If you just click on guaranteed warranty, it'll tell you all about it. And it's great, too, because the turnaround time, I hear people say time after time that it's just no turnaround time. It's very helpful. And it's one of those things that you can't go wrong with it. And I know that, you know, I know a lot of the reps with Gallery of Guns, and they're so helpful. Those people are just great. They're so, so helpful.
That's definitely a good place to go if you want to check it out. Of course, like you said, the season's also shows will be on the website as well. And personally, I don't really try. I'd rather watch my TV on my big screen than my laptop.
Yeah.
So I'm not sitting there squinting because my eyes aren't as good as they used to be on a little 15-inch screen.
Yeah.
I got a full.
Oh, it's way more fun to watch the show on a big screen, that's for sure.
And the one thing I've noticed is your, and this is not a knock, but the intro to the show is looks like the beginning of a horror movie. that charcoal gray background photograph, and then the white wording comes up on it. I'm not to share that. You know, I love this show. I love watching you and Bo go through all the weapons and stuff like that because I learn more about them now, too. So, and
Yeah. That's funny. I'll have to tell them that. I might change it now that you said that.
I don't know what kind of feedback, where to send it. I'm not the type or kind of person to sit there and comment on the Facebook page. I'll put up a couple stuff on things like that. But, you know, people have the stuff and then they have a comment section, and the amount of time it would take me to type it, I'd rather just say, you know, call you up on the phone or something.
Well, you can always call me, too, and I'll make sure that they are told about that. But I'll tell them about the intro.
Yeah,
the guy, the zombie commercial, he'd make a good intro. He's pretty good.
Yeah, that would be a good thing. That would always do something. Use a lot of color. The black
use a lot of color, okay. I will share that. That's funny.
I appreciate it. Wow. Anne Marie, time goes by. Oh, you might as well stay and do the other 10 minutes of the show with me.
Sure. Don't mind if I do. Well, I appreciate you always having me on. You're such a pleasure to talk to. And, you know, you can always call me in the future. I think we've been doing this show together for a few years now, I guess. Didn't you interview me maybe when I was Miss Brent at some point? I'm sure you
did. Yeah, I did. As a matter of fact, it was your probably your final season, and then a couple times after that, and getting to know you as a regular person, not a celebrity Miss Sprint Cup person. And
exactly. I'm back to being just regular Anne Marie now.
Yeah.
And that is fine by me.
And then when you got to be the host of Gallery of Guns, I say, wow, my type of subjects, too, so everybody, you know, when I started doing this, it was more like, you know, do a motorsports show in an area where they don't have one, and then in the off season, it's like, all right, what do I want to talk about, because racing's done, and to dig up a little, you know, about the local area as far as tracks go, and their seasons are done, and unless somebody puts something new out there, and with the recent thing with Brad Keselowski winning the title, okay, that's a week old now, but I think it's good for the sport that they have a new winner. And,
he's interesting, too. I hear a lot of buzz about him. He is a talker. There's no doubt about that. And a lot of people say that he's really fun, and they enjoy listening to him and kind of seeing what he has to say because they feel like he doesn't have much of a filter, and they really like that about him. And a lot of people say that that's going to make it, you know, really fun. And he has a great passion for it. You know, I've always known he's been a great driver back when he won his first Sprint Cup race at Talladega.
That was a fun one.
That was a really fun one. That was one of my most favorite victory lanes of all time. But he was a talent. There was a lot of buzz about him back then, and it does not surprise me that he's won a championship, because Brad has a way of, you know, and I could be wrong, from the outside looking in, from the short time that I got to know him when I was Miss Sprint, he seems to not be in his own way a lot, and he just drives. And sometimes I think if you think too much, a championship could just fall short because of whatever may be the obstacle in your mind, you know, aside from equipment failure or something like that. But I think it does take a really strong-minded person who's incredibly fearless to go after something like that, especially when it comes down to the wire. And, you know, on the screen, people are seeing the points go up, the points go down. And first second.
That's annoying.
It was crazy watching that. I couldn't believe it. But that, to me, that could really bring a lot of fear inside of somebody. And it could affect your performance. And for him, he just does not seem like he gets in his own way at all. He seems like he just goes. And, you know, look where it got him.
Apparently they let him make calls on the car, too, and it seemed to work out. But I think the biggest thing that made a lot of buzz about and went viral, too, was his Sports Center interview when he was holding this big, huge Miller. Had good product placement.
He had a good time that night, didn't he?
Sure did. And I was like, one of the more down-to-earth interviews you could see.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, to his benefit, I'll say, I don't think that he, or to his credit, I don't think he was really thinking, okay, I've got to be on TV this much time past winning. You know, they do so many interviews. I mean, whenever they win, Victory Lane lasts a really, really long time. And maybe, you know, he's just thinking, I don't know if he was necessarily thinking at all. I think he was just having fun, and all of a sudden it was like, oh, Sports Center. Oops.
And they just pull him aside and say, here's the camera. And well, you've been in Victory Lane. Have you had to stay there that whole time when they're...
Yes.
Wow. I mean,
you just get there in time. You have to be in every photograph. You have to be there all the way to the end. Usually the very last shot is the champagne shot, and that's the main shot for the Sprint Cup. So you have to stay the very long hours, and at Miami, you are exhausted beyond belief at that point. You have a plethora of the season.
Yeah, that's the be-all, don't
get me wrong. It's so much fun, and what an experience. You stand on that stage and see the lights and the cameras, and, you know, to get to stand next to the champion, it's very cool. Very, very cool experience. I'm very glad to say that I got to do that and see it from their perspective.
Yeah, as a little radio bum like me, I sat in the media center waiting for them to bring the winner in, and I'm sure he had to go to as a champion, he had to go in there and do a little press conference for all the writers and stuff. So I try and get the good. I was able to get good clear audio in there where I tried the Victory Lane once. I was at Dover with Tony Stewart, and he was exhausted. He was about sitting on the ground and huffing and puffing. And by the time they brought up the covering network, and then they had MRN, and then they had everybody else, and to fight your way in with everybody else. So there's got to be a better way to get some audio than ask some questions than this. And then there was always the media center one where there were little pools all.
Every year there's more. Every year there's just more and more and more, and it's difficult to get that. It is. The wild industry.
And when NASCAR started taking over the running the post-race interviews, it seemed to be a little better. Well, at Dover, they redid the media center, so you could plug your tape player into a molt box, so you got the direct audio. They handed you a wireless, so you couldn't ask for anything better than that. And I used to be, before they went to that, I'd be right next to the driver holding the mic, my microphone, up to him. So while he was talking to the PA mic, I'd get my audio at the same time. Hey, you gotta go with whatever works.
That's right. Gotta get the content. That's for sure. But I thought it was a fun season this year. A lot of people were talking about it. So I'm glad the sport had a really great season. And I think Brad's going to be good for it. I think he's going to be fun to watch in the future.
That's for sure. And the thing that got it for me is Penske's first Sprint Cup championship.
Mm-hmm.
Brad got him his first nationwide one, which was definitely his first NASCAR championship for Penske Racing, but it wasn't the big one, and he got him that this year. They did it in a car, the Dodge Charger, which is they're done in the sport now again. So what a way for Dodge to go out than on top.
Yeah. Yep. If I were Dodge, I'd feel it the same way. I agree.
So I don't know. It's just one of those things. And being you do a lot of work in at the office, do you hunt at all, or are you just
mainly for sport. Not hunting. I've never really gotten into it all that much. You know, I think maybe just because I really, like I said, I'm a handgun shooter. You know, I don't even shoot skeet all that much. I have a really great skeet shooting trail back home, but I don't really go out there all that much. It's not so much my thing. Maybe if I would stop shooting my dad's 12 gauges, I'd probably enjoy it more because I wouldn't be so beat up.
Yeah, they are. They are.
They can really beat you up. I come to work sometimes with bruises on my face, and I get a lot of questionable looks.
Well, you shouldn't have it that close to your face.
Well, you know, you say that, but there are some that no matter what you do as a woman, they just beat you up. Your face is not used to it. It just happens.
How was your dad's? Well, your dad's 12 gauge is pump action, or maybe you need the semi-autos. They don't have the recoil that the pumps do.
Yeah, I mean, they're pretty old, too. You know, they've been around the block, and, you know, they're not necessarily that well taken care of. Because, like I said, I don't really go skeet shooting all that much. It's fun when I go out there, but I don't crave it as much as I do target shooting on the range. That's what I really love. My favorite shots this year, we actually placed golf balls on little tiny sticks and shot those with the 45. That was my most fun shooting day on the range. They could not stop me.
I think I saw that episode of you did do that. Oh, was that what? That was the Les Bear.
That was the Les Bear. Yep, that was my favorite day.
Wonder you.
The golf balls just shoot straight up. When you hit them, they shot straight up the hill like you were shooting with a driver. Incredible.
Wow. I'd like to come shooting with you sometime.
Yeah, definitely. I keep trying to tell everybody, like, let me bring guests onto the range when we're filming, but because of safety reasons, we can't really do it. But I sure do have a long list of people that want to go.
I'm trained by the U.S. military, and couldn't get any better than that.
I know. The people that really want to go, truth be known, they could easily hold their own out there. Probably many of them are way better shots than I am, but... You know, I don't think we can do it. So, but if we ever can, I'll certainly call you. You know that.
I'd appreciate that. And if you, as far as hunting goes, maybe you and ought to get together with Paige Duke. She seems to do a lot of hunting these days.
What? I couldn't understand what you said. What did you just say?
Paige Duke. Apparently, she goes a lot of hunting.
Yeah. Paige is actually. I represent Paige now, matter of fact. She's one of
Maryland's
hunters. Yep, she's a great girl. She is quite the hunter, too. Yes, definitely, if I were ever going to go, I would trust her 100% to take me out there. She does a lot of bow hunting, which is something that I've really wanted to try, but haven't gone out there and done that yet. So, but, yeah, what a great girl. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, of course, she's done the show, too, when she was in the Spring Cup and shortly thereafter to send a message. So tell her I said hi next time you see her.
I will. I definitely will. I'll tell her tomorrow.
So, well, Anne Marie, it's been a pleasure having you on for the whole hour this time. Yeah,
I had fun. I that to all the listeners.
So maybe we'll do this again sometime again. And I'll, you know, keep me posted on some new goodies coming out.
Yeah, definitely. What we can do is I'll call you maybe while I'm at SHOT Show this year.
Awesome.
We can do a show live from SHOT Show.
Okay, off to the Monday nights, 8 o'clock here. It's what, 3 o'clock, 5 o'clock there?
Yeah, sounds good to me.
And you can even bring on some, if you want to, bring on some people.
I will. I'll definitely do that. They'd be more than happy to.
Awesome. You're the best, Anne Marie.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. You guys have a great night. As always, thank you so much for having me on. And I'll talk to you very soon.
All righty. You take care. When does the show, you start filming again?
We're going to start filming again January, February, and then it'll start back in July. But you can still catch episodes now on the Sportsman's Channel on Monday nights, and then you can also see us. Any of the shows are posted on Davidson's Gallery of Guns YouTube page as well, and then also on the Facebook page. Yep.
So looking forward to that, and good talking to you again, and thanks again for coming on, and give me a call when you get out to the SHOT Show, and we'll set it up.
Sounds good. I'll talk to you then. Thanks. Have a great holiday.
You too. Merry Christmas and all that.
Thank you. You as well.
All righty. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
There you have it on Garage Talk Live, Miss Anne Marie Rhodes joining us. Hey, Tam, you're back.
I'm here. I was listening.
Oh, you were listening?
I thought you might have had a question.
No, I
still have my little BB gun that I just got a week ago that I can't even shoot 3 feet, but I can hit the target when I shoot it. Well, maybe I shouldn't say 3 feet. It's like 5 feet it shoots. But
well, you could have asked her about your BB gun.
It's enough that I learned how to shoot now, and I can aim, and I can hit the target 5 for 5, so I'm good.
What do you think? She's going to go to the shot show and
call
from there.
I like that. See, now I have to figure out something bigger and more powerful that I won't be able to shoot in my house.
You can come down here. You can come down here.
Yeah, I have to do that. I don't know. I sold my bow and everything like that, and I kind of regret it now, but in time. When it's time again, I'll get all my stuff back together and have some fun again.
Well, you were looking for an AR-15, so I tried to find out a little bit about him, but she's the handgun person, and her co-host on the show, Bo Keister, he's the one who handles the rifles, but when we were talking about that, but there's so darn many of them out there, that's what I'm saying. If you wanted it in 22, that's not the same as having it in the original, you know, 223 military caliber, which is what I like. And, you know, but I get to shoot them in the M16 mode, which is full automatic, too. So that was fun.
See, I've shot the AR-15. I liked it. Didn't have that much kickback and everything, so I can hold on to that. So I like that. I like going to the target range and out shooting everybody. But since I don't work with those people anymore, I don't think we'd have too much fun because I might. No, we won't go there. I might not shoot at the targets.
But you know, as far as that, then you know, for like house protection or personal protection, as we call it, a handgun is the way to go.
Well, I have my crossbow, and I always make everybody laugh because I said, you know, if anybody would ever rob me, I'd have to say, hold on a second, bend down, put it between my feet on the floor so I could pull it back up and arm it, and then put the arrow in it, and then put it back up and go, okay, I'm ready now. Because I can't pull it back on my own. But I have, you know, Tinker toys, just not good ones yet.
Yeah.
Got to get some more powerful stuff. But I do. I like having them. My favorite thing is literally just going and shooting targets.
Yeah, but having something that goes bang is a lot more fun.
Well, wait. My BB gun kind of goes bang now. This little thing I got, I don't even know if it's actually considered a BB gun. I don't think so. I think it's a pellet or something. I don't know what it is.
A BB is a little round copper thing, and a pellet is a lid. Mushroom looking thing.
This is like plastic. I don't know what it is. You bought a toy. No, this is actually something I got at Cabela's last week. It's called Stunt Police or something like that. It's like a beginner's entry level to see if you really are into the whole aiming and shooting and kind of just to make sure it's what you want to do before you go spend a couple $100. So, and it's nice. Don't, you know, it's perfect just to learn how to target. It'd be great to teach my boys how to be able to aim and shoot at the target and everything like that too. So I mean, it's a good beginner entry level, ease your way into it and not hurt yourself if you misfire it at yourself.
Boy,
no, I think it still could do some damage.
I used to have them when I was a kid that shot these plastic little pellets, these plastic little BBs too. They shot maybe 20 feet, wouldn't penetrate a thing, might have stung you if it hit you.
Oh no, some of these had as much pressure is the 2250 feet per second or something like that. I mean, some of these suckers had some pretty good force behind them, but I just got a little, like, 300 one. little 300
yeah,
feet per second. It doesn't have a lot of force behind it, which is, you know how klutzy I am, so it's probably safer around me.
Well, yeah.
Come on. I went to shoot it, and I keep forgetting to take the little safety piece out of the front before you shoot, and I keep launching that thing across the room.
Is it orange, the thing in the front?
The thing that pops out of the front's orange, yeah. It's like a little
yeah,
orange. It almost reminds me of like a reverse Nerf thing.
That's the things they stick on toy guns to show that it's not a real gun, so when these kids are running around with them, the cops don't think they got real guns.
Well, even like the BB gun and stuff like that, it's something with our state. We have orange on everything. Unless it's an actual rifle, where you have to be ID'd and everything to buy, it's got orange on it.
I bought a Crossman pellet pistol at a Kmart on Route 1 up in Northeast Philly, I think, or somewhere up that way, before I came down here, that I didn't have to, I bought it off the shelf. And, you know, it's not like Jersey where you need to get a handgun purchase permit to buy a pellet pistol.
Yeah, so, I mean, these are one of the ones that you can still, like, I mean, I was looking at some of the rifle-style ones and everything like that, but I wasn't quite ready. And they were also all single load, one at a time. Shoot one, bang it over your knee, reload, do it again. I'm like,
oh,
I'm going to be able to get a couple
off. But they're running like 900 to 1,000 foot per second. You could actually kill a rabbit.
Those were more than that. Those were like anywhere from 1,250 to 2,000.
Yeah, they're the good ones. That's a pellet gun. That'll be a good
That'll be my next level up. But I just wanted something little to start with to see how I liked it. I mean, this is enough I can peg a squirrel. So.
Does it kill it or does it just make it look stupid and run off?
I don't know. They move really fast.
Did you hit the squirrel or miss the squirrel?
You missed them pretty good.
I was shooting a chipmunk off my deck. I had a chipmunk on my deck down here and it kept eating the bird feed, so I had my pellet pistol out. I bought some CO2 cartridges to put in there.
Oh,
and it holds eight shots. What's that?
This one's electric. I have to put batteries in it to really fire the sucker, and it's like, you hear this thing, and it's like, boom. It's like, oh, hey.
I think the batteries are just for the noise.
I don't know. No, it won't fire without them.
You have a glorified toy.
I do. I have the batteries not included style, but I think I'll stick to my fly fishing. I'm safer with that. I can at least catch stuff with my fly fishing.
Yeah, but you can't protect yourself with a fly rod.
Oh, no, wait. My son has put the hook in my neck when he goes fishing, and it hurts. So, you know, if I do it right, I could hurt somebody.
But that was...
you know, we're supposed to be able to know how to aim our flies just the right way. You know, if I hit them just the right way, it'll hurt them.
I thought that was a guy thing. You got to know how to aim your flies. I guess Danny didn't shoot any. He went and talked guns with Anne Marie and what kind of West Virginia boy is he?
Oh, I don't know. He may not be. I don't know. His silence is golden.
Yeah. But it was a fun show tonight with Anne Marie. I'm glad you got to listen good. Hope you got everything taken care of, that you're get the package all done, or are you still sitting there? Does your friend want to come on?
Oh, no, we're still here. We're finishing up now, and then we're going to get Allie scheduled to come on some Thursday night on the girls' show and get her on there, get her some more exposure. We're working on a sponsor packet right now for Allie Herbst Racing, and we're having fun.
Well, that's good. I hope she enjoyed tonight's gun show. This way you could tell her that, you know, that being the racing season's over, and I feel like talking about different things, and this is one of the subjects I like to talk about, and the person that I could talk firearms with was also the first ever Miss Sprint Cup, so she knows the racing series as well. So
that's
we can combine both.
Yeah, and then don't forget, too, we have tomorrow night's Lowdown and Dirty, and we're going to have this year's late model champion from Grandview Speedway, Chuck Schultz, on there. So
right.
I'm going to join him in the studio tomorrow night, and that's pretty cool. Everybody gathers in one little area and does it, and it's a wild time. It's a little party, so make sure you tune in.
Figure out your mixer yet?
What was that?
You hook up your mixer yet?
No, we didn't get that far yet. We're still looking at it like it's Greek to us, but it's okay. We make it work.
So I got to take a trip north and show you how to do this.
Oh, my gosh. We'll figure it out. We're getting there little by little. Kinds of stuff going on and planned. And then this Thursday night, JJ Dixon is going to be on. She forgot, you know, being it was Champion Week and her commitment she had, she forgot she was going to be out of town. So
the debut of J.J. Dixon. Woohoo!
Yay! It's so exciting because I can't wait. She's going to be awesome. She's got so much knowledge and everything in the motorsports industry and so much experience. And it's going to be an awesome partner to work with, and I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it.
And tell her I said hi, and looking forward to have her give you a good co-host there and moving, getting the facts forward after that little debacle you had with the last one.
Oh, it's all good. You know what? We just learn from the past and keep on moving and keep on growing. You know, it's become really popular. It seems like there's a lot of ladies out there in motorsports that are enjoying having a show that caters to them and, you know, also explains a little bit better, too, so they understand sometimes, you know, a little bit more about the sport. Because you can watch it on TV and that's one thing, but to understand how sometimes things work and everything like that kind of helps. Even the guys love tuning in and listening in, too. So, you know, it's a show that anybody can enjoy. Just because it says girls getting the facts doesn't mean it's just for the women. It's, you know.
Oh, of course.
It's got a little bit of everybody on it.
And that's the good thing. So every Thursday nights at 8 o'clock and Tuesday nights for Low Down and Dirty at 8 o'clock, Monday nights for Garage Talk Live, the original show.
The original.
The original. 8 o'clock every Monday from 8 to whenever. I like 8 to whenever. I usually say 8 to 10. I tell everybody 8 to whenever.
That's what we do on ours, 8 until whenever.
So, let's see who I can rustle up for next week. I don't know. Go on Facebook and see the happy chair. Shauna Robinson's happy chairs.
Yeah.
I might get her to come in and talk about the happy chair next week. Or maybe I'll see who strikes my fancy. Haven't talked to her in a bit. And it was her birthday last Friday, so.
It sounds like a plan.
We'll see who I dig up. But she hasn't been on. Maybe we'll get John Force on, updated all our... he should be pretty mellow this time of year after a busy season with Courtney taking Rookie of the Year and Mike Neff and her and running for a fight for the championship this year. And, you know, we still got our racing stuff we could sneak in. And every once in a while I need to have something different, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Spice it up.
All right, Tammy, so let's say goodbye to everybody. We'll see you all next Monday night at 8. I'm Vince Bonfigli, Tammy Allman. Bye now.
See ya.